This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Shortly past the bottom of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, you're live on TSN Radio 1290. Remember, coming up in about 25 minutes' time, we're going to do open phones. We want your take on the end to the Winnipeg Jets season. We don't do it often, so get your questions ready. Coming up at about 11 o'clock this morning, you can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. And of course, you can reach us here in studio via text message. Send your text to 1290.90. Standard messaging rates do apply.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to be joined now by Corey Lavallette of the North State Journal. Corey covers the Carolina Hurricanes. The bunch of jerks knocked off the Washington Capitals, and they're up 1-0 over the New York Islanders, having won game one last night, 1-0 in overtime. Corey, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, Corey. Obviously, start with last night's victory by the Hurricanes over the Islanders. Peter Mrazek, I mean, what can you say about this guy? You know, they bring him in from the Detroit Red Wings in the offseason. He's sort of in a timeshare with Curtis McIlhenny for a lot of the regular season. But really, in the last 6-8 weeks, Peter Mrazek has been absolutely on fire. And he's backstopping the Carolina Hurricanes into a magical run in these NHL playoffs.
Yeah, he was particularly spectacular last night, and while he's been really good all postseason, I don't know that there's been a game where they needed Peter to necessarily win, win a game for them. And then last night, I think, you know, obviously all credit to Jordan Staal, but I think Peter Mrazek won in them that game with his performance, just really solid, and he brings the kind of energy that the team feeds off of. He and Curtis McIlhenny are total opposite guys, and that's not a knock on Curtis. Curtis has a way of calming the team down when he's in net, but Peter has a way of inspiring them. So it's been a really, really good run from him, and he's probably making himself more and more money with every one of these performances.
Corey, we have to ask you about defenseman Jacob Slavin, and you know everybody is talking about him. You know he's got 9 assists, no goals yet, but you know he's just having such a great playoffs, and you know he's playing big time minutes for Rod Brind'Amour. And do you think this is the playoffs where the rest of the hockey world, if people didn't know how good Jacob Slavin really is, they're starting to see just like how good of a defenseman he is, maybe even a top 20 defenseman in the league?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I said to someone the other day was if Jacob Slavin had a little snarl to him, everyone would be comparing him to Chris Pronger because he's that good. Magnificent with his stick, really smart. His pass to Jordan Staal in game 7 up in Washington, where he had the cross ice pass that kind of hit Staal in stride and led to that goal, that wrist shot that was so reminiscent of Eric Staal's goal against the Devils back in 2009. I don't know if you've seen clips of those next to each other, but they're almost the same exact goal that beat Martin Brodeur. But Jacob Slavin is just, I call him a witch. It's like you don't even know how he pulls off half the things he does. And he's just been spectacular. And now he's putting up points, in this postseason. He hasn't been a huge point producer in his career. Not to say that he's a low point producer, but he's been just so good this postseason, and really just a stabilizing force on a defense that doesn't have a weakness. I mean, there's no holes in that defense.
Great. Carolina Hurricanes general manager Don Waddell said the other day, the culture that the players have created in the locker room is the best I've ever seen. Obviously, these guys embrace the bunch of jerks moniker that they were given by Don Cherry. But what is it about this group that just seems to have, you know, led to this success this season?
Well, obviously you guys are very familiar with Paul Maurice. And I think, Rod Brind'Amour has taken something from every coach he's played for, whether it was Paul, Peter Laviolette, even Roger Nielsen, he's taken all of those things. And then on top of it, layer in the fact that there was no player who was more respected when he played than Rod. And the players just buy into that. Now, you layer that with the fact that his captain is a guy that played on the line with him back in 2006. That is arguably one of the most respected players in the NHL right now. And like Rod says, when Rod says, you know, we need to do X, Y, and Z, and when Justin Williams goes and does X, Y, and Z, everyone just gets in line and follows him. So they're following Justin, they're following Rod, and then Rod loves these guys. I mean, you hear that all the time. Oh, I love my team. I love these players, all that. But, I mean, you could tell after, game three against Washington when Andrei Svechnikov got hurt, Rod was on the verge of tears because he loves that kid so much. So I think, he's just a genuine, genuine guy that the team believes in. And when he says we got to work hard to get everything that we deserve, they buy into it. And that's what it's been all about. It's been, it's inspiring to watch. They want to run through a wall for the guy, and they want to run through a wall for Justin Williams. So it's really all about that. They just have utmost respect for their coach.
Corey Lavallette is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. Corey covers the Carolina Hurricanes for the North State Journal. The Hurricanes lead the Islanders 1-0 in their second round series. Corey, if I told you that the Hurricanes were going to be doing this and this having this success without Andrei Svechnikov and without Michael Ferland, shouldn't those two guys almost, their absences prohibit the Hurricanes from having beaten the Washington Capitals in the first round?
Well, on top of that, you talk about, Justin Williams and Rod Brind'Amour inspiring a team. Jordan Martinuk is like the mascot of the team. He's the guy that fires everyone up, and they didn't have him in game one. The fact that they're winning these, they win a game last night where they're less than 48 hours removed from playing a double overtime, emotional game in D.C., and then they basically played with two fourth lines last night. I mean, look at the guys that are on there. Lucas Walmark's played in the top nine most of the season, but everyone else there has been pretty much a fourth liner all year. And several of them, haven't played with the team much at all. Patrick Brown didn't play the whole regular season. Clark Bishop had a call up when Jordan Staal got hurt. Same with Greg McKegg. Those guys, earn the trust of the team with those call-ups when Jordan Staal was out with a concussion. And, the fact that they've been able to do it without Michael Ferland, certainly without Andrei Svechnikov, who was playing his best hockey when he got hurt. And he's close. I don't know how close. It feels like every game you feel like he's going to slot in, and then he hasn't quite gotten in yet. But you feel like game two or three is going to be where they get him back, and then they're even more dangerous. So, amazing the depth they've been able to show and the buy-in from those guys, even guys that haven't played with the team all year.
Now, Corey, I watched the majority of that Islanders-Hurricanes game one, and what stood out to me is the physicality of the Hurricanes, and the Islanders can also be a physical team. You think of that fourth line with Cal Clutterbuck and Matt Martin and Casey Cizikas, but if you look at the hits leaders in the playoffs, Jordan Staal is right at the top, and when you talk about Justin Falk and Jordan Martinuk, who obviously didn't play in game one, but Brock McGinn is a very physical player, is that maybe an underrated element of this Hurricanes team, that they're a hard team to play against, especially when you factor in that they love to lay the body?
Yeah, I mean, I think where they make their money is on the forecheck, and they love to get those defensemen turn around and make them pay. And that's how they beat Washington pretty much, is they knew Washington was weak on defense, especially with Michael Kempney out. John Carlson's obviously an all-world defenseman, but he can't do it by himself, and they punish them. And that's kind of, you wouldn't say that they're a team that, runs people over like the 1970s Flyers or anything. But they've got some edge to them now that they didn't have. And that was the addition of Ferland and the addition of Martinuk, which it's crazy to think, but we're about a week away from when the Hurricanes traded for Jordan Martinuk. If you remember, they traded for him during the playoffs, with Arizona. So it's kind of crazy to think we're a year away from that. But, yeah, they definitely are physical. And Jordan Staal, I mean, there's plenty of guys in this league who hit people hard, guys who are known as hard hitters. I don't know if there's anyone in the league I'd want to be hit by less than Jordan Staal, because he's just a load. When he hits people, I mean, it may not have that, impact sound that you hear, but you can just tell. I mean, you've got, what's probably 240 pounds. I mean, he's listed at a weight, but you stand next to Jordan, you're like, there's no way. He's 225 or whatever they have him listed at. But 240 may even be nice. He's just a load, and he when he gets angry or when he gets physical, it changes the whole dynamic of this team. And he's just been spectacular this postseason. Goals aside, I mean, he's the games in Raleigh, he just erased the Capitals' top line, and the fact that they were able to steal one last night at Barclays means they're going to come home at worst tied 1-1, and then they're going to get to put Jordan Staal out there against whoever they want, on top of the fact that, like we talked about earlier, they've got defense for days that can help shut down guys, too.
No, Corey, it's amazing what winning will do. Last year at this time, the Hurricanes had $400,000 in new season ticket money, and I read yesterday that now they have $2.4 million in new season tickets for next season. So obviously first round, fans were loving it. After nine seasons of not making the playoffs, what's been the community reaction there in Carolina?
You know, it's been hard, and it's hard to listen to. You know, I've been in this area for about 20 years now, and it's hard when everybody around the league talks about how it's not a good market, because I think any fan base, after, like you said, after going a decade between playoff appearances, is gonna falter, and it's gonna lessen. You know, you saw it in Colorado. That's a great, you know, a great market, and they, when they were struggling, they were having their troubles. You even see it in Canadian markets. You know, it's tough to hear that, because you know how good these fans are, because college sports here is huge, and this is kind of the one team that can unify all of the college teams in the area. There's not any animosity between your neighbor. You know, if you're a Duke fan and your neighbor's a Carolina fan and it's basketball season or even football season, you guys are at odds. When the Hurricanes are doing well, everybody's all in, and it brings that college atmosphere. I mean, everybody knows about the tailgating and all that. And also, they're just good fans too. They're you know, they welcome other fans. You know, for the most part, I feel like it's a welcoming building. You know, so it's a great atmosphere. It's great to see it full again, because it was so good in 2006 and 2009, and it's right back to where it was now that the fans have something to be excited about.
Corey Lavallette covers the Carolina Hurricanes for the North State Journal. Corey, appreciate your time. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Our pleasure, Corey. Thanks again. Alrighty, you've been waiting all morning for it. It is time for our Saturday morning You Bet Your Jet Will Call You bonus play. If you texted You Bet and your phone number to 129090 this past week, we could be calling you right now. Stand by as we reach out to play You Bet Your Jet next on the radio home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.
Saturday morning, welcome back to TSN Radio 1290. It's time for the You Bet Your Jet Will Call You bonus play. Good morning. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Welcome to TSN Radio 1290. What's your name?
I'm Ryan.
Ryan, good morning. Welcome to the contest. Where are you calling from, Ryan?
I'm calling from I represent the North. I'm from Riverbend.
There you go. Nice, nice to have somebody from the north side of Winnipeg.
That's enough call in. Enough people from the south end.
That's right. We need some good old homeschool north end people. Ryan, earlier you texted You Bet and your number to 129090. We just drew your number from all those who have texted in so far. Just for being our qualifier this morning, you've won a legendary 10-inch spicy pierogi pizza from Boston Pizza. And now we're going to give you a chance to win some great prizes and big cash.
That's here's awesome.
That's right. It is awesome. Here's how it works, Ryan. Today on You Bet Your Jet, we're featuring the Winnipeg Jets' big dogs, Dustin Byfuglien, Blake Wheeler, and Mark Scheifele. I'm going to ask you a skill testing question about the Winnipeg Jets player you select. Get it right, and you'll win some great prizes. Then, as long as you got the question right, we'll play a random highlight this season. If your Jets player scores, you instantly win $1,000 cash. How does that sound to you, Ryan?
It sounds great.
That's good. That's what I like to hear. Ryan, which Winnipeg Jets player are you going to select? Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, or Dustin Byfuglien?
You know what? I'm going to go with the captain.
You're going to go with Blake Wheeler. All right.
Nice.
Good, that's a good selection. I like where you're at already there, Ryan. We're going to begin with a skill testing question. If you get it right, you win a pair of tickets to see Thomas Rhett at Bell MTS Place coming up on May the 4th, plus a Royal Sports gift card and a White Jets platinum stretch cap.
Ryan, what's the square root of 40,523?
Hold on, let me get my phone on.
Yeah. This is why we don't let Ezzy talk on air very often, Ryan, but here's the question we asked Blake Wheeler. What is Blake Wheeler's go-to party jam? What song is his favorite? Did he say Return of the Mac, or did he say Wind Beneath My Wings?
I'm going to go with Return of the Mac.
Return of the Mac. All righty. Let's hear from the Winnipeg Jets captain, Blake Wheeler, and see if we can give Ryan some great prizes.
Blake Wheeler here. What is my go-to party jam? Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison.
Okay.
Nice.
There you go, Ryan. Congratulations for getting it right. You have won those tickets to Thomas Rhett at Bell MTS Place and a Royal Sports gift card and White Jets Platinum Stretch Cap. That's in addition to the 10-inch spicy pierogi pizza from Boston Pizza.
Return of the Mac.
Stop That's singing. Awesome. Here we are. Now you're on to the big cash round. You have an opportunity to win $1,000 if the highlight that we're going to play features Blake Wheeler scoring. Are you ready, Ryan?
I am ready.
Do you have a good luck charm with you?
I have my 8-year-old daughter with me.
That sounds like a good luck charm. Here we go. Let's hear if Blake Wheeler scores and we can make you $1,000 richer.
Line 8, back down low for Connor. Back him on the net, far side of the has for Wheeler. Wheeler stick handling with a puck for Connor. Connor looking in the corner, back for Wheeler at the hash. Up top for Bufflin. Near side, line 8, slap shot again. Sliding post to post to make it a pad stack save. Here's Campbell.
Oh, Ryan, I thought you had it, buddy. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You didn't quite win.
It wasn't even Wheeler that took that shot.
Well, he was involved in the clip there. You never know where it's going to come from. Ryan, congratulations. You've won that legendary spicy pierogi pizza from Boston Pizza. You're off to see Thomas Rhett at Bell MTS Place. You got a Royal Sports gift card and a White Jets Platinum Stretch Cap. Congratulations, and thanks for playing You Bet Your Jet.
Thank you, guys.
Take care, Ryan. Thanks again. Let's get back to our Winnipeg Jets evaluations. We've been going through the forward group and discussing which players matched our expectations, exceeded our expectations, and underachieved. We left off with Brian Little. We move on now to Nikolai Ehlers, who played 62 games for the Winnipeg Jets. He tallied 37 points, 21 goals in those 62 games. Your thoughts on Nikolai Ehlers' season? Did he match your expectations? Did he exceed your expectations? Or did he underachieve this season?
Yeah, boys, I'm going to have to say Ehlers met my expectations. And, you know, he was injured during the playoffs. And, you know, we know that he left. Was it game two, Drew, or was it game three that he left? With
game five where he took the shot.
No, not game five, but he left. It was
game two for concussion testing.
Right. That's the game I was thinking of.
And game five where he fractured his leg and then played game six on a fractured leg.
Right. So obviously, you know, games five and six, guys, I mean. What can you expect out of a guy who fractures his leg? But earlier in the series, I think after he had to leave that game, I forget who hit him on the Blues, but you know, it was a disappointing playoffs, but overall in the season, I mean, he had the injury during the season as well, and he missed some games you mentioned. So, I mean, to me, I want to almost give him an incomplete because he didn't play the full year. But, you know, Ehlers is a guy that, you know, you have higher expectations for him now that he's in his he just completed his fourth season. He's going into his fifth NHL season, so your expectations are higher. I mean, this is a guy, you know, that's already put up a 29-goal season. He's coming off his career year a couple of years ago. But, you know, Ehlers, to me, I still think he had a really great season, but he just... I guess you always expected more. And I could see why some people might say that he underperformed this year, but I think the injury derailed him, certainly in the playoffs. So I'm going to say that, you know, he met my expectations. He had a good year, didn't have a great year, and I expect really good things for Ehlers. I think this is a guy that's definitely going to score 30 goals in the NHL, probably, you know, get close to 40 goals, but, you know, just an incomplete season for me. So I don't want to give a cop-out answer here. I just think that, you know, for him, it was a tough year this year, certainly not as successful as last year.
Dave?
No, I mean, look, I had high expectations for Nikolai Ehlers coming into the season. There's no question about it because, like, as he just said, you know, he's a player. He's not a rookie anymore. He's a guy who's going to be relied upon to provide a lot of offense for this Winnipeg Jets club. And look, we can talk about his possession, his ability to bring the puck into the zone. I mean, Nikolai Ehlers can do things with the puck at a high rate of speed that not many players can do. I mean, he really is that next level. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, to Eddie's point, I think the injury did really derail him both during the regular season and what we saw in the playoffs. So to me, I would say he met my expectations, almost underachieved, but again, simply based on the fact that I have high expectations for Nikolai Ehlers.
Last one before we open up the phones at the 11 o'clock hour, Matthew Perreault of the Winnipeg Jets. He had 15 goals. He had 15 assists. He had 30 points in a full 82 games played. It's rare that you've been able to say that he's played 82 games. He had the lowest point total, certainly since he's been a member of the Winnipeg Jets, and his lowest point total since back in 2011-12 when he played, when he had 30 points in 64 games for the Washington Capitals. Matched, exceeded, or underachieved the Winnipeg Jets' Matthew Perreault?
You know, for me, I got to give Matty Perreault matched expectations. And, you know, you mentioned it was nice that he played all 82 games this year, but you think, guys, about how many different lines Matty Perreault was on. I mean, the only line he wasn't on was the top line. He was on the second line, third line at times. Most part of the biggest part of the season, he was on the fourth line. But, you know, when you talk about his game, scored 15 goals. That's where you expect him to be, around 15 to 20 goals. Could he have scored more? And I realize there were stretches of the season that he was really struggling to put the puck in the net. But he's been such a reliable player. And I think, you know, when you talk about reliable and dependable for Paul Maurice, there aren't that many players. You know, Andrew Kopp is one of those players that comes to mind. Brian Little is one of those players that comes to mind. Ben Sherratt on defense, a player that you can really feel comfortable with playing on any line with any group of players, right, Dave? So, I mean, for me, sure, maybe, you know, you expected more goals during the regular season. You expected more points in the playoffs. But for me, he was a pretty consistent player, even though sometimes those offensive numbers weren't there.
And I think in Perreault's defense, I would say he met my expectations. I mean, his ice time decreased 2.5 minutes per game this season from what it was last year. So, I mean, he's seeing the ice less. There's less consistency in terms of his line mates. He was definitely not playing with the same guys, you know, game in, game out. So, I think Matthew Perreault is a reliable player that Paul Maurice can kind of put into any position, and he's going to, he's going to elevate his teammates' game. But I just don't know that he was put in a position to have a lot of success offensively.
When we come back, we open up the phone lines. We want to hear from you. What should the offseason priority be for Kevin Cheveldayoff? What needs to change to have the Jets return to Stanley Cup contender status? What player or players will be new regulars on the Jets roster next season? Plus anything else you want to talk about with regard to the Jets and the Stanley Cup playoffs. Open phones in hour number 3. That's coming up next. 204-780-1290. Give us a call on the Boston Pizza fan line. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hour number 3 of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN Radio 1290. Phone lines are open on the Boston Pizza fan line, 204-780-1290. We want to hear from you about the Winnipeg Jets season that just concluded. We want your 2 cents. What do the Jets need to do to resume being an upper echelon NHL team? This segment of the show brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction for all your real estate needs. Come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com. Let's go to the phone lines, 204-780-1290. Jack joins us from River Heights. Jack, good morning and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, you guys have a great show.
Appreciate that, Jack. Thank you.
Well, you're in the best neighborhood in town. I mean, that's my neighborhood, so.
Yeah. You know what? If you wonder why your property value just declined rapidly, it's because of Ezzy's presence.
And the delis around here are awesome, just want to say.
What's on your mind, Jack?
You know what? Just one thing. The first time I ever saw hockey, my dad was watching the Canadiens versus the Blues in the final, and I picked the Blues as my team, and I've been a fan ever since. So I'm kind of like very, very knowledgeable about all facts the last 50 years. And all week, the media has been saying that there's no elite teams or elite players left in the playoffs. And, you know, Tarasenko has had the most playoff goals in the Western Conference since 2014, 26. And the next one is Couture of 23. And he actually ties Crosby since then. So it's like, that's not right. That's an elite guy, you know, like he's an elite player. Still, like, in the playoffs, and I know that the top teams during the regular season are gone, but the teams that have been playing the best since the new year are the ones that are still playing. So I think it's just bang on. Like, there's no kind of letdown as far as, you know, what people are seeing. Like, the best teams are still playing, and there is elite talent still there, you know. So I just wanted to comment on that, because I don't think people really see that, or it's not in the media at all about the Tarasenko thing, you know.
Jack, I appreciate the call. Very interesting point. Thanks for listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Jack's point is that Vladimir Tarasenko doesn't really get the credit for being an elite player, but he's got the most goals in the playoffs in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and he had 2 goals in game one versus the Stars. I agree with Jack. I mean, you know, when you talk about, you know, the top division, top four teams, the division winners, I mean, they're all out. We know that. Tampa Bay's out. Calgary's out. Nashville's out. And who's the team? The other team, Washington, is out. So, I mean, there are some really good teams that are out. But I think when you talk about Boston specifically, and you talk about St. Louis, and you talk about San Jose, those are elite teams. I think those are maybe the only elite teams of the eight. But, you know, when you talk about, you know, Patrice Bergeron, you talk about Brad Marchand, David Pastrnak, I mean, the Bruins have some elite players. And then when you talk about, you know, the St. Louis Blues, not only Tarasenko, you're talking about Alex Petrangelo. He's a top defenseman. Jordan Binnington, you know, is one of the best goaltenders currently in the game. Obviously, he emerged in the second half of the season, but there's some really good teams left. And whether or not you want to call them, you know, elite teams, there are some really good teams left. I mean, the Islanders and the Hurricanes, that series, I mean, it's the series of the unlikely. We talked about it with Corey Laviolette. I mean, nobody expected either of these teams to make the playoffs, let alone win their first round series and meet in the second round. So I agree. I think we have to stop looking at, you know, which teams aren't in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now in the second round. We have to start appreciating which teams are left.
Jack, appreciate the phone call. We wanted you to get in on the conversation. 204-780-1290. Give us a call in studio right now. You can also do so via Twitter at Illegal Curve, and you can do so via text message as well. Send your text to 129090. Get in on the conversation. We're talking about the Winnipeg Jets. Frickin' Freezing, which is a good Austin Powers reference, via Twitter says, we need to stop trading our picks away. Play what we have and keep the youth coming. Trade Trouba for a first at minimum, sign Tanev and Sherratt, bridge Laine and Connor, waive or trade Kulikov, get the youth from the Moose up, Niku, Veselainen, and Mason Appleton. This roster needs more grit too. Some interesting points coming in via Twitter. That is from at frickin' freezing, Mr. Bigglesworth.
Yeah, I think those are some good points there. And, you know, when you're talking about all of these UFAs and RFAs, we talked about it. I mean, Patrick Laine, Kyle Connor, I mean, they're going to be signed. But when you're talking about Brandon Tanev, Ben Sherratt, Tyler Myers, there's a lot of uncertainty. I mean, Chevy talked about it in the end of season press conference. I mean, the Jets aren't going to be able to bring back all of these players. And I would agree with Scotty Billick, who we had on back around 9:30 in the morning. I mean, I think Andrew Kopp has to be signed. And, you know, for my money, I think Ben Sherratt has to be signed. I mean, I think Sherratt was kind of the unsung hero of that decor.
Dave, you said,
he had a great year, Dave.
Dave, you say, but who's replacing him on the left side? I mean, he's got his drawbacks. He is certainly a better defenseman when paired with Dustin Byfuglien, but take him off the roster, and who's playing those minutes with Byfuglien?
I just don't know that you're going to be able to afford what he thinks he's going to be entitled to.
Would you sign him, for example, for $2 million? I mean, for me, I'm signing him all day long for $2 million.
I don't think he takes $2 million.
That's the problem. I think he thinks he's probably
or two and a half, whatever.
He's probably thinking probably around three. So I don't know that the Jets can afford it. That's my point. It's not a function of would you have him. Sure, you'd have him on the left side if you could get him for a reasonable price. But I
think he gets $3 million.
I think he's probably looking for a 3-year, $3 million contract.
Yeah, something possible. Like
that. So, to the point that the original point, I agree. And Ezzy and I talked about on the drive over how the Jets are down to 3 picks in the upcoming draft in Vancouver, and this is a team that needs, you know, obviously draft picks to really continue to fill the pipeline, because of course that's the draft and development mentality.
Phone lines are ringing. Keep them coming. 204-780-1290. We want to hear from you. We head back to Rocky in Tuxedo. Rocky, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
How's it going, boys?
Good, Rocky. How are you doing?
It's going pretty well.
Good. I just wanted to get your take on the dressing room issues that we're having, and if you think a leadership change could be in the cards. Not saying we're stripping Wheeler of the captaincy anytime soon, but maybe put some A's on some different guys or rotate things around. Want to get your take on that, what we could do to resolve that for next year.
Rocky, appreciate the call. Rocky wants to know about leadership issues. Do we think that they are as real as they sound in the Jets dressing room? Are they overblown? You know, we talked about this a little bit back in the first hour where we mentioned, you know, the possibility of Dustin Byfuglien maybe not being having a letter on his jersey anymore, maybe the possibility of Josh Morrissey or a rotating associate captain.
Yep.
What do you think? Do you think that that's going to be an area that the Jets look to change entering next season?
You know, I don't think there's any doubt, guys, that there was some friction in the dressing room, and I think that's why you saw the closed door meeting towards the end of the season. I mean, none of the coaches and none of the players, Dave, and I know you're shaking your head, but I mean, none of the players are going to admit, certainly, you know, the coaching staff is not going to admit that there's friction in the dressing room, but you know, we cover the team. I mean, Dave was there more this year than I was. Obviously, I've got a beautiful young daughter at home, so that prevented me from going to more Jets games. But I mean, we're around the team. We hear the stories, and it's not all conjecture and rumors. And you heard that, you know, within some of the veteran leaders on the team, I mean, they weren't on the same page. And obviously, we're not going to name names here, but I think it had an impact on how the Jets played towards the end of the season and going into the playoffs. I mean, you kept hearing guys about how the Jets weren't right towards the end of the season. And anybody who watched the Jets this year versus last year could see they weren't the same dominant team that they were when they had 114 points and almost finished first in the entire league. So when it relates to the leadership group, Rocky, we talked about it during the first hour of the show. Drew mentioned it. I mean, Blake Wheeler is going to be the captain next year. Mark Scheifele is going to have an A. Maybe they take the A off of Buff and they give it to a guy like Josh Morrissey or Brian Little, a guy, Dave, that's worn the A before. But I still think whether or not Buff has the A on his jersey, he's still going to be one of those, you know, unspoken leaders of this team. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the leadership group isn't going to change much, but I think maybe the way they go about a collaborative type of leadership, I think that might change next year.
You know, Dave, we were talking about it off air. I think we had this conversation. You had a really good point, and we want, you know, people to get in on the conversation, 204-780-1290. But you had a really good point where you said, you know, at any point in time this season, did this team look like they were having fun? Did they look like they were enjoying themselves, even when they were winning? You know, back in earlier in the season and the record was good and everything, you know, the play on the ice might not have been perfect, but the record was good at least. At any point in time, did you see this team having any joy at all on the ice? And I thought that was a really good point because you look at the teams in Carolina, you look at the team in Long Island and the Islanders, they looked like they were having fun and they enjoyed being around each other. I'm not sure the same could be said for this Winnipeg Jets team this season.
No, and that to me is like, I think that there needed to be that element added to the group. And I think like, you know, oftentimes, and I understand the mentality. You know, Blake Wheeler says, we haven't won anything. Mark Scheifele says, we haven't won anything. And it's true. They haven't won anything. The only guy in that room who has a Stanley Cup ring is Dustin Byfuglien. So this team has not won anything. They don't have any right, any entitlement to act like they've been there, done that before. But at the same time, I think that there needs to be a little bit more joy, a little bit more, you know, when you're winning, that feeling good and you can enjoy it.
Did they even do that fighter helmet thing this year?
I don't remember if they did.
Yeah, but I don't think they did either.
I just think, like, I'm not saying you're yucking it up at your opposition's expense and you're saying, because look, these guys were dominant at Bell MTS Place for the most part throughout the early part of the season. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that you're coming into the dressing room and you're whooping it up. I just think, like, there had to be a little more levity, a little more enjoyment from winning. So from my perspective, that was probably one element that could have been injected into this Jets team. You know, not again, you want to act like you've been there, done that, but at the same time, you can't not enjoy the ride. And I think when your team is having success, you should be able to enjoy that and allow it to seep into the room a little bit. And I think perhaps that would have been a little bit beneficial to the team, because if you're serious all the time, mm-hmm. and I talked about it with the coaching staff, we talked about the Moose, they were the worst team in the AHL at the Christmas break, and then went on a crazy run, almost a 700 winning percentage to almost make the playoffs. And you know, from those guys, they were enjoying playing, and they were playing for each other. And you know, the idea of leadership, I mean, Ryan White, you know, he was a guy who has 313 NHL games. He was playing on a PTO. And here's a guy who wasn't wearing a letter. Peter Stojkovic was in his first year as Moose captain. But Ryan White was as much a part of this team in a leadership capacity, both on and off the ice, specifically on. I mean, he was talking to the refs. He was talking to the other team. So to that point I'm making is, you know, does Josh Morrissey have to wear a letter to be a leader? No, of course not. But I think it's more of what fans see, and I think that they respond to that. Another player that could be mentioned also, I think, is Adam Lowry. He's a very thoughtful guy. He's part of the, you know, he's a younger player, drafted obviously from, you know, homegrown from within the organization. But, you know, he's an articulate guy, and I think he's also a player who could be seen as a future leader of this team.
Much more to come on your Winnipeg Jets. Phone lines are open. Our Twitter feed is open, 204-780-1290. You can tweet at us at Illegal Curve. And, of course, text messages being received at 1290-90. Standard messaging rates do apply. Bob, stay on the line. You're up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
We want your thoughts on the Jets. You can also reach us in studio via Twitter at Illegal Curve. Let's get back to the phone lines. Bob is calling us from Bonavista. Bob, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, guys. Happy to be on. I've been a long time listener. Absolutely love your show. Love your coverage. Look forward to listening to you every week. So my question is this. I started catching the show a little later on in the morning, so this may have been touched on a little bit, but what honestly is your gut feeling and your opinion of Wheeler as a leader? I've been watching, you know, the Jets ever since they came back. So I really appreciate his hard work and everything, but I'm disappointed in his professionalism. I won't touch on, you know, the comments that he made to that reporter, but I just want to know what you guys' opinion is on him.
I think Blake Wheeler is a very intense individual. And that's not a criticism. That is certainly probably a praise more often than not. But I think at times when you are that intense for that long of a period of time over the course of 82 games and then the playoffs, it can begin to wear on some of your teammates. So that's why I think they brought Matt Hendricks back, because I think Hendricks is able to keep things a little bit loose. Now, but the problem is when you're not playing and you're not really in the lineup, there's a limit to how much you can do. And so I think that's it's almost the balance the Jets need between a leadership style like Blake Wheeler, intense, and a leadership style like Dustin Byfuglien, which is a little more jovial and a little more relaxed. And so it's hard to necessarily get those two things to blend all the time, and I think that might have been some of the Jets' problems towards the end of the year.
Yeah, Bob, and if I could add something on Wheeler, you mentioned it in your question, right? I think everybody knows how good of a hockey player he is, right? He's one of the best right wingers in the entire game. And what I would say is when things are going well, I mean, I think you can really see how good of a leader he is, but when things are not going well, I think sometimes that rubs off on his teammates. And Blake Wheeler, time after time, has put this Jets team on his back, along with Mark Scheifele, along with Dustin Byfuglien and some of the other top Jets players. But I think what I would say is that his type of leadership, and Drew, you know, mentioned the word intense, and anybody who's watched the Jets over the last few years since he became captain knows how intense of a leader Blake Wheeler is. But I think sometimes that can be a little bit too much, and that can actually work against him. It can be to a fault. So I do think he is a great leader. Do I think that he has butt heads with some of the other guys in the Jets dressing room? I absolutely think he has. And I think, you know, towards the end of the season, I don't think that the Jets could get back to the place where they were at last year when they went to the Western Conference final, almost got to the Stanley Cup final. So I don't have any problem with the way that Wheeler uses his mantle, if you want to call that. But I think that just sometimes, you know, it's a little bit maybe off-putting for some of the other guys in the room, if that makes any sense.
Bob,
yeah, totally. One more quick thing. It totally makes sense. I agree with what you guys are saying. I don't know if he makes a good captain, though. He may make a good leader. Byfuglien's a good leader. Does he make a good captain? And the final thing I'll say is, I don't know if you noticed, but he deleted his Twitter account. I don't know if there's any,
He's smarter than the rest of us for deleting his Twitter account. I highly recommend that everybody should delete their Twitter account.
None of the Jets should be on Twitter.
Yeah, none of us should be on Twitter. Go spend some time outside. You're way better off doing that.
Exactly.
Bob, thanks, appreciate the call.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thanks very much. Let's head back out to the phone lines, 204-780-1290. That is the number to call to reach us here in studio via the Boston Pizza fan line. You can also do so, ironically, via Twitter, at Illegal Curve after I trashed it, and via text message. Send your text to 1290-90. Kyle is in Transcona. He wants to talk about Jacob Trouba. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Just first of all, love your show, guys. Been listening since you're over at Red River, so it's just awesome.
Right on.
Hearing you all the time.
You're a grizzled veteran. We appreciate that.
Yeah. with Jacob Trouba, and I don't know if there's something in the locker room, maybe it's that he's kind of decided he's leaving and we're waiting for that to happen. And if that's the thing, I think you got to make it happen. But I'm just wondering, like, what is a return on a guy who I think people are seeing that doesn't want to sign here, so you're at a position of weakness if that's the case. Yes, they have a year for themselves to try and sign him, but if he's that kind of a guy who doesn't want to stick with the team he's at, how do you get that guarantee? And I'm wondering with, you know, if you move him out, and then we talked a little bit earlier about the young players coming up, but we need that support for those guys, and is it, if it's not a locker room thing, would it not be maybe, like, unless you're going to get a huge return, aren't you just going to turn around and try and find a top defenseman at the trade deadline and send more picks? Like, how much of a move are they going to make? Or what if they ride a year while those guys get a year under their belt so that you have, I don't know, like, actual some experience with the younger guys? I don't know if that makes any sense.
You know, Kyle, appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us, 204-780-1290. The Jets are in a bit of a rock and a hard place situation when it comes to Jacob Trouba. You know, they... You know, most of the other teams aren't going to be offering a boatload of assets in exchange for him, because they can sign him for nothing 12 months from now if he hits unrestricted free agency. So you have to hope that a team is willing to pay a pretty big amount for him just to get that opportunity to sign him and bring him into their fold 1 year sooner. Whether or not a team will do that, I'm not 100% certain.
Right, and you nailed it. I mean, we talked about it during the first hour. That's what makes trading Trouba a little bit difficult, because he's got only 1 year left before he becomes UFA, as you mentioned, Drew. And if you're a team like whoever it is, you know, the Detroit Red Wings have been rumored to be interested in Trouba because he's from Michigan.
Detroit,
and all that.
Detroit, Florida, well, Philadelphia, all these teams,
I mean,
out east.
We could sit here and we could name, you know, six or eight teams, Drew, but when you're talking about, you know, what he would bring back, if it's going to be a one-for-one trade and you're getting a defenseman, a right-shot defenseman back, you'd have to think, I would have to think at least, it's not going to be for another guy with 1 year left before he becomes a UFA. It's probably going to be for a guy that's maybe on a longer-term contract that a team looks at and they say, no, you know, Jacob Trouba is a better fit on our team. We'll trade you this defenseman who's got 4 or 5 years left. Maybe Chevy gets that cap certainty. That would be my inkling, because if you're not getting a defenseman back for Trouba, you're most likely looking for a combination of a prospect and a draft pick. I mean, even though Trouba only has 1 year left before he's UFA, he's still going to get a nice return.
You're absolutely right, Ezzy. Let's get back to the phone lines, 204-780-1290. Give us a call on the Boston Pizza phone line. Join in on the conversation. You can also do so via Twitter, @IllegalCurve, or you can reach us via text message here in studio. Send your text to 129090. It wouldn't be a Saturday morning that we take calls on this program if we didn't head out to Rowdy, the Dutch Jets fan. Rowdy, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Are you in BC still, or are you back in the Netherlands?
Hi, guys. Good morning. No, I'm still in BC here. Just done with my studying program for one semester. I'm actually coming over to Manitoba once again in June.
Wonderful. You have to let us know when you're back, and we'll be sure to get you here in studio, as you last couple times you've joined us here on on Saturday morning.
Well, last time Rowdy was here, he tried the Illegal Curve sandwich for the first time.
Now he's making a trip back to Winnipeg specifically for it. Rowdy, you are obviously a huge Jets fan. What's on your mind regarding the Jets this upcoming summer?
It's going to be the most fascinating summer we've had as Jets fans. I think it's not only with the upcoming contract, of course, of players like Laine and Connor, but also with what's going on with Jacob Trouba, of course, as you guys talked about it before.
Yeah,
it's such a weird discussion, because I'm a big fan of Trouba. I was always convinced that he did want to sign a contract here and was just not offered the value at the time. But that, to be honest, I'm not as hopeful about that anymore.
Yeah,
if you're going to trade him, you're going to do it from a position of weakness. It's a trade you're pretty much guaranteed to lose. So it's going to be a pretty rough one.
You're absolutely right, Rowdy. It's a very difficult situation for your Jets general manager, Kevin Cheveldayoff. Jacob Trouba, you know, has often bet on himself, saying that he's worth $7-8 million a season. He put up 50 points this year, and you know, he got more of a power play opportunity. So he's going to get, whether or not it's from the Jets or it's from another team, when he hits unrestricted free agent, if he does hit it, he's going to make, you know, $8 million a year, or somewhere between $7 and $8 million a year. He's bet on himself, and he's bet successfully.
Right, Rowdy. And I think, you know, further to Drew's point, when you're talking about Jacob Trouba, I mean, he's had the opportunity in the past to sign the long-term contract. And I think that's why there's always going to be a little bit of doubt that creeps in, because I do think there is a chance still that Trouba signs a long-term contract. I don't think it's at 0% right now, but when you look at, you know, last year, and the Jets were definitely prepared to give him, you know, a significant amount of money and a significant amount of term, and, you know, he went to arbitration and then he got the 1 year contract. I think that was the year to get the long term contract done. Again, you know, it could happen, but right now it's looking more likely that, you know, he's not going to be a Jet long term.
Rowdy, appreciate the call. We'll see you here in Winnipeg in I guess about 6 weeks or so. Make sure you let us know when you're back in town, buddy.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
All righty, let's head to break. When we come back, we're going to head to Claude, Todd, Dave. They're all on hold. You can give us a call, 204-780-1290 via the Boston Pizza fan line. Twitter feed is open at Illegal Curve. Also, text messages. Send your text to 129090. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
You know, I'm proud to be a Winnipeg Jet. It's all I've ever wanted to be since the team moved here. You know, I've come up through the system. I'm, you know, a homegrown guy, and you know, so obviously this is an important place to me and somewhere I enjoy playing. So hopefully things work out that way this summer.
That's pending unrestricted free agent Ben Chiarot, homegrown guy, of course, a draft pick of the Atlanta Thrashers before finally coming to his own as a member of the Jets defense. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The phone lines are jammed, 204-780-1290. The Twitter feed is buzzing at Illegal Curve. Text messages are pouring in as well. Send your text to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. This segment of the show brought to you by our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Remember, any Stanley Cup playoff game that goes to overtime means it's time for an ICOT pool sponsored by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Be sure to keep your Twitter feed tuned to ours at Illegal Curve for all the details.
Three nights in a row we've had overtime.
It's been three. I think it's even been four at this point in time. Yeah, it's been a lot of overtime as of late. So we big thanks to our friends at Rumors for sponsoring that contest. We go back to the phone lines. Claude is on the line in Osborne Village. Claude, good morning and welcome to the program.
My friends, mes amis,
it's our good friend Claude, the French-Canadian Leafs fan, right, Claude?
Right, the realistic French-Canadian Leaf fan.
That's good.
That's a new motto.
Yes.
But I love to thank you for another great year, my friends. I'm still waiting for the T-shirt, but I'm not going to mention it. Capiche?
That's on Dave Manuk. He'll take care of that for
Claude,
you.
The T-shirt and the check, it's in the mail.
Okay, don't cash it, though.
I just two things I have to disagree with you. I like Wheeler as a captain. I think the biggest pain in the neck this year, being a season ticket holder, they catered too much to Lade. They kept moving people around because of him. He didn't put in the effort. And if Wheeler had to give him a few blasts, there's nothing wrong with that. Torts, how long do you think Torts would tolerate his behavior? And Hitchcock, you name the coaches. And that's ridiculous. I saw it on the bench. People weren't the right. After, let's say, for example, Lade can't play the first line. Connors is better than him. Go to the second line. There was trouble there. Then he moves to a third, whatever. Then I move somebody out. People who have worked hard. And I bet you that is the main pain now with the Jets. What are they going to do? Cater to him another year? Or... That's why I like Wheeler. You need somebody who's going to tell it like it is. He's a great captain. He's a great ambassador. I've met him a few times. And he's a very nice person. But you need somebody like that because you can't cater. And I don't blame it on Paul Maurice. I blame it on Cheveldayoff because Cheveldayoff probably makes a suggestion that the play Lottie here, play Lottie here. He didn't deserve it this year. And you have to admit, he didn't deserve all the catering he got.
Claude, always appreciate your insight.
Thank
always
you.
Appreciate your support of the program. Thanks for joining us. Claude thinks that Laine obviously got too much, too much of a rope from the Winnipeg Jets bench boss, and maybe that was part of the problem that the Jets had in the dressing room this season.
Yeah, and you know what? When you're talking about Laine, I mean, it's been well documented, right, guys? He was struggling, you know, before the Jets went to Finland to play the Panthers in the Global Series, right? Laine was struggling, and then he scored the hat trick, right? And then he scored, I think it was four goals in the two games against the Panthers, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, then he went on to score the 5 goals against the Blues, the 18 goals. He was the player of the month. And then, you know, you started to see his numbers dip a little bit in December and January. Then he picked it up again. But overall, you know, it was a very inconsistent season. So when you're talking about Laine, I agree. I mean, I think if there's one thing I would like to see next year is I would like to see more consistency with who Laine plays with. And I mean, we talked about it. He was the most successful, really, guys, when he played with Kyle Connor on the other wing. I mean, people forget that. When it was little Laine and Connor, that was probably the best line where he had the most success. Now, if you're going back to last year, Paul Stastny, Nikolai Ehlers, and Laine, I mean, that was the line.
I don't think they're going to get Stastny back at
this
point.
No, but you know what I mean,
yeah,
right?
I know
so
what you mean.
When
you're,
I mean, that's, you know, why are we even talking about that? That's, you know, we're living in a fantasy world by talking about Stastny. But, you know, for me, I would like to see a little bit more consistency because I agree. I mean, remember Laine was on the third line. He was replaced,
They were trying all sorts of things to get him going and they had some trouble doing it. And, you know, he played better in the playoffs, but certainly, I mean, we talked about it. We were doing our expectations and we'll probably get back to that next week because we obviously didn't finish that, but Patrick Laine, you know, underachieved this season and the Jets certainly don't want that to continue. Text messages are coming in. Jay texted in from Grand Beach. He says, what do we think the chances of either Tyler Myers or Laurent Brossoit getting re-signed are for the Winnipeg Jets? Of course, both are unrestricted free agents. Eric Comrie, will he be the backup next season? That's Jay chiming in from
Brossoit's
Grand Beach. Pardon me, RFA. I knew as soon as I said that was incorrect.
Yeah, I'll jump in here first. I mean, I would probably say that there's a better chance that Brossoit is signed. I mean, I think there is a chance that Tyler Myers signed, but I mean, how are you going to fit him in the salary cap, right? You've got to re-sign Andrew Kopp. You know, potentially you're bringing back Ben Chiarot. I mean, Brandon Tanev, are you bringing him back? But when you're going to pay Kyle Connor and Patrick Laine right around $16 million or whatever it is, it's going to be around $16 million for the two of them. Yeah. It's going to be really tough to squeeze Myers in there. So, I mean, I would have no problem with the Jets bringing back Laurent Brossoit. He was arguably the best backup in the league this year.
I would expect that Brossoit is actually going to get a two-year... My prediction, and take this for what it's worth, which is absolutely nothing, I expect Brossoit to get a two-year... $3 million contract from the Jets, about $1.5 million per season, because that will cover them also for the expansion draft when Seattle comes in. So that way he'll be the goalie that the Jets can expose in the expansion draft. So I would predict 2 years and $3 million for Laurent Brossoit, which means he'll probably sign a five-year, $5 million contract. Let's get back to the phone lines. 204-780-1290. Want to hear from you about the Winnipeg Jets. Todd wants to join in on the conversation. Todd, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I appreciate it. I just want to kind of extend the conversation back with Wheeler and a few callers back about, I can't remember which mentioned about when Hendricks was brought in at the trade deadline. And of course, this is out of the line thinking here that is it perhaps at Sheffield they saw a challenge or a miscommunication in the dressing room for him to go out and get Hendricks. It certainly wasn't. He didn't bring Hendricks in for his, I mean, certainly, you know, gritty guy and great hockey player, I think he is. But in that circumstance, someone noticed some sort of disturbance in the room for him to bring someone else in to try and calm the waters. And or is there a possible doubt that Cheveld AF might have about this intensity that we hear that Wheeler has? Now, I believe there's a good intensity, and I believe there's a bad intensity. And I'm not in the room. I can't say for sure, but it appears bad intensity.
Todd, your phone's breaking up, but we're going to let you go. But I think I understand the question, sort of about Blake Wheeler and the intense nature of his leadership. I think it's readily apparent that, you know, Matt Hendricks was brought in to maybe deflate the intensity in the room a little bit, just maybe change the tone in the room a little bit. The problem with that this season is last year Matt Hendricks was able to play for the Winnipeg Jets, and when you're playing, you know, your voice resonates louder than when you're not playing. So Matt Hendricks being in the room, you know, despite basically never playing a game for the Jets or playing very few for the Jets.
I think he got into two or three.
That's right.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same impact as if the guy plays 10, 15, 20, 30 games for the Jets. So I think the intention of bringing Matt Hendricks back, you know, is certainly a sign that things needed to change a little bit. But it's also, you know, it also had minimal impact because when you're not playing, you can't really affect change too much.
Right. We all know, and we've talked about it here, guys, not just today, but over the last couple of months, since Chevy brought Hendricks back to the Jets. I mean, it's clear he was brought in for those intangibles, just to be a good guy in the dressing room and have an impact on the younger players during practice. Because as you mentioned, Drew, he didn't get into much games, certainly didn't get into any playoff games. But, you know, the much larger question that Todd is asking here is about the leadership and the communication maybe breakdown that we saw in the dressing room. And we're not going to name names. There's been a lot of speculation of who those players are, but you can figure it out who the leaders on this team are. And, you know, there are some different leadership styles. Again, I'm not going to name names, but when you're talking about, you know, what happened towards the end of the season and in the playoffs, the breakdowns, losing the games in the third period when they were leading. I mean, to me, that's because you had some players that weren't on the same page and you saw an inconsistent style of play. And to me, you know, I don't know if you chalk that up to just leadership, but I think, you know, there might have been, you know, some egos clashing in the dressing room. Let's just leave it at that.
I would agree with that. It just all was not right with the Jets room. That was readily apparent. You know, Paul Maurice said it in his post in his final scrum where he said, you know, there's some feathers that have been ruffled that will need to be smoothed out. That should tell you all you need to know. And that's going to be really a priority for this Jets team. In addition to the contracts that need to get worked on, that's Paul Maurice's job, is to keep that room the way it should be. And, you know, Paul Maurice, in conjunction with his leadership group of, you know, Wheeler and Shifley and certainly Bufflin to some extent, they will need to sort of spend this offseason to try and figure out how to get this room right once again. One final break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dave. Stay on the line. Hart, stay on the line. Anybody else who wants to get in, last chance to do so, 204-780-1290. We're taking your calls. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
I think, you know, it's something that develops with time gradually. I feel like, you know, finishing up my third year now, I've made strides in that area, and I think it's just kind of a constant evolution as a player. So that's, you know, something that I feel like we have a really strong leadership group here, and, you know, I want to try to be a part of that.
That's Jets defenseman Josh Morrissey talking about leadership. That's been a subject of conversation all day long here on this program. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment on this Saturday morning. Phone lines are still open. Last chance, 204-780-1290. Twitter feed at Illegal Curve. Text messages, 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. We want to hear from you about the Winnipeg Jets and the end to the 2018-19 season and what needs to change going forward. Let's go to Dave in Arness. Dave, good morning and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Wondering about Trouba, and it's, I don't want to say it's apparent that he wants out because I don't know him or anything like that, but it appears he might not want to be in Winnipeg. But I've always wondered, especially with what was coming out of Carolina earlier in the year, if Trouba for Dougie Hamilton trade might work for both sides. But the thing about that scares me is Hamilton's been moved twice already. And is there an issue with him, or is he just wanted that much by other teams? You know what I mean?
Yeah, appreciate the question there, Dave. Thanks for joining us on the program. You know, Jacob Trouba is a year away from unrestricted free agency, and by being a year away, you earn the right to choose where you want to play hockey. The Winnipeg Jets are in a situation where they can choose to keep him and potentially lose him for nothing, which would be what I would describe as a poor decision on the Jets' part. Dougie Hamilton can play for my team any day of the week. I don't expect that that the Carolina Hurricanes are going to be, especially given the run they're going on, I wouldn't expect that they would be overwhelmingly interested in trading for a guy who's a year away from free agency unless they can get some sort of guarantee that Trouba is going to be, you know, that he's going to sign a long-term extension with them.
Well, it's a very, you know, got to give David credit here because, Dave, sorry, and when you're talking about Dougie Hamilton, you mentioned how he's been in the playoffs. He's got 6 points in 8 games, but he's been very solid for Rod Brind'Amour all year long. And, you know, when we talked about the trade rumors, you know, it's hard to believe that, you know, after he's traded from the Flames to the Hurricanes, mm-hmm. You know, in his first year with the Canes, he was already the subject of trade rumors. But, you know, just talking about Hamilton for Trouba. We have no idea if either GM would entertain that type of offer, but it's the type of defenseman, though, that would come back the other way. He's got 2 years left, by the way, at $5.75 million. So that's what I was talking about earlier when we were talking about it. And I agree with you, Drew. When you're talking about, you know, who's what a team is going to give up to get Trouba, you know, the Jets are in a bit of a position of weakness with 1 year to go before unrestricted free agency. But I would expect, if it is a one-for-one trade, defenseman for defenseman, it would be a Dougie Hamilton type of defenseman, a guy that has some term left.
I agree. Dave?
The one thing I just want to cut in on is this idea that Jacob Trouba's demeanor somehow suggests one thing or the other. Because Jacob Trouba isn't a rah-rah kind of guy.
His demeanor doesn't change very
His
much.
His demeanor really doesn't change. So the one thing I think fans need to really recognize is, like, sometimes we focus on this notion of the exit interview, and somehow that is indicative of the way he is all year. You know, like that's his demeanor, and that's his attitude towards the team. I really don't know. I'm not saying that Jacob Trouba wants to win a Winnipeg long term. I'm not saying that at all, because I don't know his inner workings, and I don't know what he's discussed with his agent. But I would say that having been around Jacob Trouba pretty much his entire career, he really doesn't change the way he talks very often with the media. So to me, I wouldn't take a lot out of his exit interview. I just think that's pretty much Jacob Trouba across the board.
Let's go back to the phone lines, 204-780-1290. Hart is in River Heights. Hart, good morning.
How's it going, boys?
Good. How are you, Hart?
Well, I'm not going to talk about Pittsburgh Penguins today because it's too hard to talk about that. So I figure I'd stick to a Jets question.
Go ahead.
When do you think Josh Morrissey gets a letter on his chest? Well, I'll let you guys get back to that. Great show as always. See you guys.
Thanks, Hart. Appreciate the kind words. I mean, Josh Morrissey is being talked up a lot this offseason, since the season ended, as a future leader on this Jets team, or maybe even a current leader on this Jets team, and it's just a matter of time until he gets awarded, if you want to consider it an award, with a letter on his jersey.
Yeah, and you know, if Hart was listening earlier, you know, he would have heard that we were saying that, you know, Morrissey, there's a good chance that he gets an A on his jersey. So, you know, it's a simple answer for me. Morrissey, any day of the week, could have an A. I think he could be the future captain of the Jets. I think a lot of people have Scheifele pegged as the future captain. I mean, Wheeler's not going anywhere, so he's going to be the captain for many years to come. But when you're talking about, you know, Morrissey, he's right up there with Wheeler and Scheifele as one of the leaders of this team.
Absolutely. Last word from the phone lines goes to our buddy North End Rick.
Yes.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
NER.
Gentlemen.
Rick.
That's a lot of body hair in one studio.
You're right about that.
I am calling because I'm wondering if there is a chance. I know Trouban. Is there a chance they can get by without trading Trouba for a like defenseman? Can they use Buff, top pairing, use Niku, second pairing, right side, squeeze by with Pullman on the right-hand side, third pairing, and somehow get a high-end prospect, preferably a defensive prospect, and maybe a high-end pick for him from somebody who has that to offer?
I mean, I think that's what Kevin Cheveldayoff's dream is, that he gets a high pick and a almost ready to step into the lineup prospect. You know, my thinking is, if you're a team that's interested in acquiring Jacob Trouba, I'm not sure why you would, as I said back in hour number one, why you would give up the farm for him right now when you can just get him for basically just cash.
But some teams might do it because they want to challenge for a Stanley Cup.
Right, fine. If you think Jacob Trouba is the kind of guy who puts you over the top at this point
that's in time,
you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff wants there to be a bidding war for Jacob Trouba. That would be his dream come true. It hasn't manifested itself as of yet, because I think if it had, he probably would have been traded last year at the NHL draft. We'll see if things change when the draft is, you know, in Vancouver later on this summer, or, you know, in the time span between now and then.
My only concern, Rick, to be honest with you, is the fact that you just have to be aware of the need for depth. Because I agree, I think Sammy Niku is ready to step in to a more regular role in the NHL. I think Tucker Pullman is ready as well. But there's the inevitability with defensemen that you're going to have to go to your farm. And we saw, you know, Cam Schilling got called upon. Nelson Noje got called upon. So you just have to have that depth within the organization. And if you take those two guys and you put them in, you're going to have to replace them. So you're going to have guys waiting in the wings.
Yeah, and I would say to Rick, I mean, it's a really good point that Rick brings up, because if you're not getting a defenseman of similar quality to Jacob Trouba back, Dave, and you're not going to sign Tyler Myers, it just speaks more to your point about the depth, right? So if they're going to get, you know, let's say a first round pick and a prospect for Jacob Trouba, a D prospect that isn't able to step right into the lineup, I think you have to sign Tyler Myers then.
it's going to be fascinating. It's really going to be a fascinating offseason for the Winnipeg Jets. So many unanswered
questions.
I'm sorry?
Where should you stick?
You should stick to illegalcurve.com. Is that what you're going to say? You should stick to illegalcurve.com. You should stick here to TSN Radio 1290. You should stick to TSN1290.ca. All the latest news, of course, via these three wonderful sources as we enter into a really interesting offseason for the Jets. A lot of unanswered questions.
Let's hit the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
not right now, though, but that's it for the Saturday morning and the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN Radio 1290. A big thank you to all of the callers. Some great calls, some great insights to everyone who joined us. Thanks to everyone who tweeted and texted as well. In case you missed any of the program, it will be available for download on our website, tsn1290.ca. It'll be available on illegalcurve.com, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts each and every week. A big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, and Zappia Group Realty. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Producer Sean Assor did a great job behind the board tonight, handling all those calls. For Dave Minook, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until next Saturday at 9 a.m., we thank you for listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, and keep it tuned to your home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.